I don't remember. Good morning. Welcome to the third quarter report of COPTA. It's the third quarter, but we are already deep into the fourth quarter. The report. The report arrived late from National Treasury. According to the Public Finance Management Act, we're supposed to receive the report 1.5 months from the end of the quarter. But this one came, arrived really late. But before we get to that, I just want to make a special welcome to our colleagues from the Portfolio Committee of is it the COC or COPTA? Of COPTA. The department tends to confuse us about the COC and COPTA. Those dynamics. Thank you very much, Chairperson Sengetu and the team. Also, welcome the department. Thank you very much. We know that this is a very busy time of here in Parliament, because it's time for the budgets and the threat plans. I see the department has called an old new member at the extreme end of that side, but I'm sure she'll be introduced. Sorry, and thank you very much for coming. You know, I hope that the department, I hope you're done with the strength plan or what?
Okay.
The reason we invited the department is because of the, obviously you are on the third quarter, in the nature of the spending of the department. You will clarify, the Health Department will clarify to us. We have noted at least some slow spending with most of the programs, including the transfers. Including your grants, especially the municipal infrastructure grants, which now is including the EDD, it's called, yeah. So we thought that it would be important to hear from yourselves exactly maybe the challenges that you're facing. I don't know, Dara. What? Don't worry, you know, age is catching up with me. Pelela, have you got any copy, man, of this analysis? If you do have, if we can make just a few copies available for. But you must have one. But where is the. That's what. Yeah. What we have done, if you could just organize another copy for us. In fact, it would be nice if there were more copies so that even the department We can speak, we can sing from one hymn. But so long, we will share what we have. This analysis makes a comparison for the third quarter expenditure from 2009-2010 financial year, 2010-2011, so and 2011-2012. What we are noting, if you have this analysis of us, are we organizing a copy for the department? Okay. But what we have noted is that the spending in the year 2009, the transfers this at the end of the third quarter were at, should I say, 70%, 69.9. The following year, 75.5. This year, they are down at 65%. current payments, 2009-2010 financial year, 63.5%. The following year was 68.4%. This year, 55%. With the capital assets, '09-'10, we are at 38% at the end of the third quarter. 14% 2010-2011. Again, this year is 23%. So it's clear that there are challenges, and those are the challenges that we would like. We hope that your report will speak to. So, I think the honourable members, those are the issues that would have loved the department to address. In fact, part of the just smaller, it's not a small issue. An issue that I would like the department to assist with, but going through your presentation, I think it's also addressed there. Is this community work a project? Our understanding of that, it is intended for job creation, but the spending continues to be slow there as well. Perhaps if we could, if we could ensure that, if we could shed some light with us as to what the challenges are regarding this, because our understanding is that it's supposed to be broadly part of the expanded public works program. But it's not for us to decide where it resides. But the team today of the department is led by Mr.
Maybe coughing means that he's the leader of the team.
but you will introduce the team. Yourself and then.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Mtoto Sigidi. I'm leading the program managers from COCTA. I'm acting Director General for the department. The team that I'm leading next to me is Ricardo Hansby. He's the Deputy Director General that will also give more information around the Community Works Program. Next to him is Ken Terry. He's the head of the National Disaster Management Center. Next to him. He will be explaining some of the challenges and the reasons why they have not actually expanded. And next to him is Mr. Mawetu Mchuda, is the chief financial officer who will be making the presentation. And at the extreme end. Is Shanaz Majid. She has just indicated to me that she's well known here. I don't need to introduce her. She's the Deputy Director General responsible for PMGS. She's provincial and municipal governance support.
She did the excellent job.
So these are the things, and we have Risho Ketsi. She's just sitting on the opposite side. She's representing the Department of Traditional Affairs.
Well, thank you, Mr. Risho, for joining us. Now you're
really welcome. I am responsible for Water Affairs, COCTA, and Communications.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you very much. Okay, without any much ado, you can lead us. We have, after this presentation, we have another presentation, probably at 11. I'm not sure, Honourable Members, what is going to happen that time, not at 11, half past 11, because I see that in the other committee rooms, the Portfolio Committee is busy, Water Affairs, like I guess is the strat plans, because no one is left in Pretoria. The whole delegation of Water Affairs has flown down to Cape Town. So, but they are supposed to present to us. They have not indicated that they will not present to us. So, over to you.
Honorable Chair. We received the invite, and we drafted a presentation for this particular committee. The presentation that we have before you is a presentation that the minister agreed that it should be presented as such. We have not done the analysis that you have done in terms of going back the two other years behind, but let me take this opportunity to allow the CFO to make that presentation. Thanks.
Thanks, Sir President, and thanks, Acting DG. As the Acting Chairperson has said, my name is Mawetu Kaolani Mchuda. I come from a village in the Ngobo local municipality in the Eastern Cape. After I've done with this job in this department, I'll be assuming my duty as a traditional leader in that village. I come from a very prominent clan, the Tembu clan. So I belong to that. So I'm a traditional leader by birth. And I have been... Chairperson, I'll take you. We have taken note of the concerns raised by the committee, and we actually agree with the expenditure patterns that have been elaborated to us, and it has been a concern and a challenge within the department that our spending patterns, more especially at the end of the quarter, are not in line with what is expected within the expected expenditure norms. But I must, before I take you through the presentation, just dealt with some housekeeping issues so that the presentation is understanding the correct context. This department's budget is made up of 99% of it is actually transfer payments to municipalities and other entities. And that is the case. The transfer to municipalities do not necessarily follow the national treasury expenditure patterns of 25% per quarter. We do transfer payments as per our transfer payment schedule as agreed between ourselves, national treasury, and the municipalities. And most of the time, they are not in line with the 25%. And that is the reason why we are, in most of the cases, not in line with the expected expenditure patterns. We were supposed to be at 75% of the department this quarter, but we are sitting at 65%, and if you look at the transfer payments, they are actually at 65%, which is actually as a result of the transfer payments that were not due at the time of the end of the quarter, but were due later. And if you look at the picture later, you will find that the picture has changed. The presentation, Chairperson, I'll take you to overview of the presentation, which is the introduction. Departmental expenditure analysis per program, departmental expenditure per economic classification, analysis of under expenditure for the year under review.
Sorry, Mr. McHugh, if you can do us a favor, ne? Just pull the mic towards you. Ne?
Okay. I need to support you.
You are my support. Thank you.
And number five is measures to improve the expenditure and conclusion. The purpose of the presentation is to brief the standing committee on appropriations on the departmental financial expenditure, including measures that we have put in place to improve those patterns. The first one is departmental expenditure analysis per program. We have 7 programs within the department. The last one, which I want to first of all deal with, is traditional affairs. This actually refers to the department which was proclaimed in 2009, which is a fully fledged department, but because of us not getting a vote as yet from Treasury, it's still included as a program for budget purposes. So what you see here, traditional affairs, is actually the Department of Traditional Affairs. It's a program here. But for other reasons, we treat it as a department. There is an accounting officer which does the normal accounting functions of a department. The first program is administration, which is a normal administration of a department. In that line, we have only spent 65. I'll explain it later, the critical cost drivers that led us to that under expenditure. The second program is policy research and knowledge management. And the second one is governance and interrelations. All the under expenditure is related there, except the PMGS, which has spent according to the expected norm. I'll explain it later when I go through the reasons for the under expenditure. Then we took out the most critical areas in terms of transfers and subsidies, which I'll also explain it later, transfer to SALGA. All those things are transferable to this institution in terms of the agreed payment schedules with the entities and the municipalities. So the expenditure that you see there is according to the agreed those payment schedules. So I'll deal with them later, but as you can see there, Chairperson, that the actual under expenditure is 16.5 million. And the 16.5 million, 16.4 of it relates to transfers and transfers to entities. So in a nutshell, the bulk of the under expenditure is made up of the issues that I raised earlier. Then this is our economic classification, goods and services. Let's start with compensation of employees and elaborate later. We are sitting at 70%. We're supposed to be at 75%. And you go down on the agencies. These are the things that I've spoken about earlier, the capital expenditure and the trends that the chairperson has spoken about are still haunting us. And it's something that I'll deal with it as to how we want to deal with it this financial year, because there are issues which are also linked to the CDWP treatment of the budget that was included there, which we need to speak to Treasury about it. Then here, Chairperson, we put here the department analysis from our side, and this is in line with the figures that the Treasury has provided. And I'm saying that the Department of Overall Expenditure depicted a 65.5 spending, and the standard norm is reported to be at 75, which reflects a 10% underspending. This is largely due to transfers to municipalities that are not transferred every month, but according to payment schedule, which is the norm, which the norm is not applicable. Therefore, according to our projected cash flow, transfers are in line with the payment schedule at 65%, while disaster relief fund is at zero, due to outstanding assessment reports. I will elaborate to that, and the acting DJ said there's more information coming from our contact expert who are sitting with me here. The slide 7 is compensation of employees. Here, Chairperson, you'll recall that there are programs that we took during the other financial year and this financial year, which is MISA, is part of us. As part of this program, we allocated some funding to our personnel budget with a view of appointing dedicated staff to those units, CWP included. And the appointment of those posts took too long to finalize. We are still processing some of them now, and largely the other expenditure is as a result of the posts that were identified to be filled within those important components, because the argument from the department is that for us to run those programs and run them effectively, we need to have dedicated people who are going to assist the department and the appointed lead agencies to manage that portfolio. Goods and services, here, Chairperson, as I said, this is the 1% I was talking about, including the compensation of employees of the departmental budget. And as you correctly said, you are not doing very well in this component, and even last year. But looking at the interim figures we have at the end of the financial year, we are looking much better than we were in December. But this under expenditure in terms of this quarter was largely made through, we have a program that is run through our other branch, IED, these cooperatives. We ran out of budget during the year, but the project that we were supposed to undertake was not concluded, and we requested Treasury to do some shifting or buyments of funds to goods and services, and that was approved. But the process to renew the contract or to appoint a new service provider took some time to conclude, and though some expenditure has been cut towards the end of the financial year, but during that period, that 70 million was allocated to goods and services, and it was not spent. Also, the projects, the departmental projects that were running as a department, there were some delays in them, and then after we reviewed them, we found that some we have to actually cancel and do them internally and all those things, and it has affected the expenditure in terms of goods and services, but it's something that as we're beginning this year, we have just approved our procurement plan, and it went through the processes, and we believe that the project that we have there, we have got the capacity to deliver on them and deliver on the timelines that we have agreed. Payments of capital assets. This is the CAPEX budget for the department that we have not been doing well, and we have looked at it and identified some of the key driving cost drivers that are making this thing not happening. One of it is that it's part of our contribution to the Community Work Program. We, when this program was designed, or when we took it over from the president, there was a budget that was allocated in the CAPEX, which was meant for or to assist the lead agencies to buy some hard working tools to assist those workers to buy those assets like wheelbarrows and all those things. But we have discussion together with ourselves and treasurer to see how best we can handle these things. Are these actual assets or are they working tools? So this is what will be finalized as we move forward. But that is a contributing factor as we speak now. Plus the TSU unit that was established, and we need to have offices. But this process has also been delayed due to logistical arrangement within the provinces, and the furniture earmarked for these people has not been...
A slight interjection. Acronyms, guys, we always talk about them. We don't understand the TSU. We strongly oppose on acronyms, and they are coming here to put them back.
So please, really, if the portfolio committee does not understand acronyms, then it will be worse with appropriations, you know. But if you could just speak a little bit slower, I'm not sure if other members are following you, but well, it's helpful because it is there. Okay. Please continue.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson, and I must apologize for these acronyms, and I must acknowledge that the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee reprimanded us harshly on us using these acronyms, and we didn't know that she was going to be here. But sorry for that. The PMGS I spoke about earlier is actually a provincial municipal support program. And TSU is our technical support unit, which is established in the department, but they are placed at all provinces. They are supporting the municipalities in terms of the projects that are running there, the CDWPs, the MISA, everything that the municipalities are expected us to do. And these are the people that are supporting us. These are our technical support unit, and it's based at provinces. Thank you, Chairperson. I'll try to speak slowly. As I said, I'm a chief and I'm not very much eloquent when it comes to these things. So I try to speak faster so that I can finish quickly. The second slide is about the thing that I spoke about, but the ones that are listed here on top with percentages are the ones that were transferred according to the payment schedules, and they are fine. Then when it comes to Community Works Program, which my colleague will come and elaborate later, the under-expenditure reflected here is not necessarily the result of the program not performing well at the grassroots level where the employees are working, but it's a result of, because here as a department we appoint lead agencies and we pay them, and that's how our expenditure gets reflected. But as a department, we have instituted very stringent measures to verify and make sure that what we pay to these service providers is we paid for the work done and the work done appropriately. So from their side, what we experience is that the invoices we receive late, and for us to do the proper verification processes, it takes some time before the payments are actually made. And this is the reflection of what has happened. It does not necessarily mean that the people at the end of the road are not working or are not getting paid. But it's something that the unit involved is working on so that it doesn't at the end of the day reflect to come to that consequence that people are not getting paid when the wages are due. The second one is the equitable share. Okay, this one is largely due to the thing that I spoke about, the 68%, that some of the equitable share was not transferable or was not due at the end of that quarter. In other words, it was due, say, we have transferred most of it in March, but the 949 million referred to there is actually an offset which was agreed between ourselves, Treasury, and the municipalities. It doesn't have an impact on that particular expenditure, under expenditure. The impact is at the end of the financial year, but I'll explain what has happened. And as I said, it was a joint decision, but the investigation was done by National Treasury to what has happened to the transfers, conditional transfers to municipalities, and a determination was made to offset this on the match local government equitable share. So at the end of the financial year, that 949 million will remain unspent. The council allowance of gratuity, 0%. Chairperson, this is an unfortunate situation which the department has found itself, and I think the country and this committee, I think, will share with us, but it's really unfortunate. But this is something that was beyond our control as a department, though we tried our level best to make sure that these gratuities are paid and are paid on time. But this matter was gazetted in December, though the funds were actually appropriated with the department during the adjustment budget process. But for the processes to make sure that we make transfers and make correct transfers to the correct people, then there were due processes that we needed to follow. And those included the other stakeholders like Treasury, like SALGA, the municipalities, the provinces. And that took time, its own time. As a result, the actual payments to these councillors were started in March. And in March, we paid some, I think, about 450. Okay, the total number of councillors that we needed to pay is 3,690. And out of that, we have received applications, that is, from each councillor of 2,444, and there's still a balance of 1,200 applications that as a department we have not received. And we receive these from the various sources, but SALGA is coordinating it together with the department. And it's a process that we have committed ourselves because we are paying now. We have informed Treasurer of the challenges that we're facing and they are assisting us. But at the end of the year, we didn't spend the whole money that we were supposed to spend. We had the bulk of it. I can mention it, that the outstanding amount that we didn't pay. Out of the 266 million, we didn't pay 262. And we have already requested a rollover of that money. But it's something we're dealing directly with councillors. I receive calls every day. We answer them as much as we can to inform them of the process as to when they are likely to get their payments. But as I say, about 413 so far have been paid. And it's a process, as I said, that we have committed ourselves, but by end of May, all the applications that are in the department would have been processed and paid. But there are unfortunate consequences, Chairperson, which may also lead to the frustration these councillors are experiencing, but for us to get staff directives and to pay them, okay, we ask SARS to do that, and some of them have been found that they are owing SARS a lot of money and are receiving nothing. And this has resulted in lots of frustration, but it's something that as a department, there's nothing we can do. And also the expectation from themselves in terms of what they are supposed to get, they thought that we were going to just pay them what they were earning at the end of their term, but we had to get tax directives, and tax implications have actually affected them. But from the department side, I want to to reiterate that we are committing ourselves that for all the applications that are in the department, those that are still outstanding must have been processed and paid by end of May. UCLGA, this one is a departmental thing, Chairperson, that we are dealing with. It doesn't have other stakeholders, it's us and the entity itself, but it's dealt with at a very high level at the department. And we want to finalize it this year, because in terms of the agreement we have with the leaders of the department is that we only transferred 400,000, and this amount is still there. We are going to make a decision very soon in this financial year as to the ultimate fate of this grant. MISA. MISA is the governance component that was the department is trying to establish. It's the same thing that I spoke about the CWP, that here this fund is divided into two. There is personnel that is paid from the department. There is also a sort of transfer payments, but also can call it goods and service, but it's sitting amongst transfers. This money is payable to DBSA. We signed a contract with them, it's a tripartite contract between ourselves, Treasury, and DBSA. They are doing everything on our behalf, and we pay them. But it's also the delay in payments is because DBSA invoices us on the basis of what they have done, though they are not agreeing with us in that they want us to do them transfers and say, no, give us what you have done in support of the municipalities. And we verify their invoices to make sure that we pay for the work done. And sometimes it takes longer than expected. And that's why I was sitting with this variance. But as I say, when it comes to the end of the year, it looks much gooder. We're fine. We've paid everything that we're supposed to pay to them. This is another concern, the Chairperson, the Municipal Disaster Relief Grant. And Chairperson, I must say, this grant was first allocated to the department during the year under review. It was the first time. And when it was presented to us, we believed that it's going to be an easy way of responding to the challenges that the municipalities and communities out there are facing. But Chairperson, you'll understand that this is government money. It's not money that when a disaster happens, we just dish out money. There are processes to be followed. Disasters have to be declared, and ultimately, Treasurer has to release the funds. But this year, I'm not saying Treasurer, I'm blaming them because they never actually delayed it when it comes to this. The delay is the due processes, the value chain between the department, the municipalities, and the provinces in actually finalizing the due processes before funds can be released. But my colleague next to me will elaborate on this. At the end of the quarter, we didn't spend anything, and the total value of this grant is 775 million, divided between municipalities and provinces. But at the end of the year, we managed to pay 47 million, and we've committed another 30 million to Limpopo. And the first one was to Mpumalanga. But between ourselves and Treasury, we are working this. Okay, thanks, Honorable Chair. What I was saying is that the total grant is 775 million. And at the end of the financial year, we managed to process the request for a grant for a disaster that happened in Mpumalanga. And we paid 47 million out of the grant. 47 million. Yes. And the 30 million that I spoke about, which is due to Mpumalanga, will only be paid in this financial year.
So it will be 47.
Yes. So that's the situation. Our measures to improve our spending patterns. Chairperson, we have developed certain measures that we wanted to assist us to make sure that the expenditure is monitored and managed, and that the department gets value for the funds that are allocated to it. We have a standing budget committee. Its primary purpose is to advise an advisory committee to management in reference to the respective responsibility for the preparation, adoption, administration, and monitoring of the budget. The budget committee will mainly be concerned with the overall financial planning and management issues, including assessment of the way the department will be operating and focused attention on performance against budget and delivery and service delivery plans. And this one is in place, Chairperson, and it has helped us to improve the expenditure patterns towards the end of the financial year. Project management approach, as we are doing, what we did as a department is to link the budget process with the planning process. That is our project. We have what we call a project management approach has been enforced at the level of budget process, thereby linking the budget to performance management. All approved projects have been allocated budgets linked to the various milestones. This will ensure that expenditure movement is in accordance with the projections. And this helps us. We have a procurement plan, which I'm going to deal with it, which is including our projects, as I alluded to before. The third one is an approved procurement plan, and this is something that we started last year. It is also a treasury initiative, which we are required to produce it, and ours has already been approved, which details all departmental projects and the timelines on which they must be started or completed, and the procurement process that we need to follow. And the approval of the plan early in the financial year has ensured that procurement, as well as consistent monitoring at executive management level, because on a bi-weekly basis we had our strategic management committee meeting, and it looks at the procurement plan status report, the budget, and all those things. And those issues are helping us on a quarterly basis, on a bi-weekly basis, daily basis, to see whether the projects that have been identified are moving and are they linked to financial performance. Forward planning concept, Chairperson, this is a concept that we have committed ourselves as a department, that for the following year, we plan all our projects, because we move from a premise that says we are working on a multi-year budget system. Already know, now we know what is in our baseline, and we use that as a way of planning and budgeting. But for the next financial year, for instance, we must be able to identify the projects that will be undertaken in the next financial year, and agreed on them based on the baseline figures we have. And as the project process will be moving towards January, March, we'll exactly know what the treasury has allocated to us. And the procurement processes will be started immediately January, March, after the allocations, advices have been given to us, so that when the year in question, that is April, starts, we can start implementing the projects immediately. And it helps us to make sure that there is no lack in terms of expanding on our projects. This is the last Chairperson, in conclusion. As I said, that these improvement plans were adopted in under the year review, and the implementation thereof has helped us a lot towards the end of the financial year. And as I indicated earlier, that as a government department, like all departments, we have already interim financial figures for the year under review as of 31st March. The closing date, of course, is tomorrow. No, 26 is tomorrow. 26 on Friday. No, 26 on Thursday. And from there, we'll know exactly. But from what I've presented and what you're looking here, there is a lot of improvement. We are actually sitting at 1.947 billion under expenditure, And as I said, it's made up of transfer payments, the 95 million I spoke about, the 727 disaster relief grant, the 263 million non-returning council. That is that 97% that is making us look so bad. That is the 2 billion we're talking about, or 1.9. Compensation of Point Police, we have not spent 96 million, which is about 8 million. And as I said, it's MISA and CWP. Goods and services, as I said, is SENACO and the projects that we couldn't implement in the year under review. And the 42% on CAPEX are those things that I said are related mostly to the furniture for our technical support units, and also the issue of the furniture or the equipment or tools that we, when we took the budget from the presidency, we budgeted there, but the service providers that we had before, they didn't want to commit on this, and the new ones were still something that we want to discuss and to, how to treat this particular location. Because from where we're sitting as a department, we believe this should not be CAPEX when it comes to CWP, but it's, a decision will be taken very soon. But that's how the picture will look like, but I'm sure the committee will call us when we present our appropriations for 2012, at that time we'll be in a comfortable position as to where we stand in terms of financial spending of the department, even before the figures are finally audited. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Peter.
Okay. Thank you for the short input there.
That's fine. You want to add anything, acting teacher?
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I just wanted to draw the attention of members, Honorable Members, to slide 10 on transfers and subsidies, specifically on Municipal Infrastructure Grant and Municipal Improvement Systems Grant. The expenditure there, which is 62.7, the cause of that is that we had to also comply with the Division of Revenue Act. So around December, there were certain municipalities that had not necessarily expended on what we had transferred to them. So we had to withhold for a particular period of time. That is why that amount might not necessarily have been 75%. And the second one on Municipal Improvement Systems Grant, normally that grant, when we transfer first off in July, we transfer 100% to municipalities. But for the year under review, we had decided that because municipalities were not necessarily in the previous year have given us the plans, we were going to be withholding and only transfer when those plans were submitted. I just wanted to give that kind of an addition, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for the presentation. I note, although it was not in this presentation, that there was 750 million rand in fruitless and wasteful expenditure, as highlighted by the Auditor General for this department. I just like to know what steps the department is taking to ensure that there is not a recurrence of this problem, and how they're going to resolve the matter so that we don't have another qualified audit report. And then I notice also, Chair, in the presentation that they refer to a CAPEX under expenditure of 40, in other words, they've spent only 42%, at year end of the capital expenditure. Now, you know, in capital expenditure is normally the areas where jobs are created, and it is of great concern to us because we're putting money into CapEx, but it's just not happening. And we find this with all the departments. So really, you know, I would like to have an explanation for that. Then, Chair, the transfer for the Municipal Disaster Relief Fund at 0%. Unfortunately, you see, the disaster happens and then the municipalities are obliged to actually expend money and fix whatever's wrong. And you know that municipalities haven't got money. They're sitting with those financial problems, and now they've got to wait months and months and months before the money actually, you know, gets to them. And I'm afraid, you know, it's just not acceptable that this disaster relief takes so long to actually get to the municipalities. Chair, I would like to say what I said yesterday, and it seems to me, you know, the departments don't understand this, that when the Minister of Finance does the budget, he's got certain expenditure, of the departments, and he's got to provide that in terms of income so that that expenditure is covered. And we just simply say in this department we under expended 2 billion rand by the end of the year, you know, as if it's nothing. Now, if all the departments do this, it's a serious problem, and this is what we're sitting with. And the question that we as an appropriations have then got to ask is, do we grant the full amount that these departments want because of the under-expenditure trend? And this is something we would have to consider seriously. And then, Chair, my last question, and it doesn't relate, unfortunately, to, if you will allow me to answer this question, it doesn't relate to this presentation, but it relates to the new year, and that is the P component of the MIGS, the Municipal Infrastructure Grants, which is in excess of 2 billion, which is going to go to municipalities for sports. And I would just like to know whether they can give any indication as to when that amount will be allocated and how it will be allocated. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. My question doesn't relate specifically to the figures that are shown or that have been presented to us. It's more of a systemic kind of structural challenges that the department faced. I assume that there was a kind of a philosophical, political reason of renaming the department Cooperative Governance, linked to Chapter 3 of the Constitution. Now, I don't know, the problems of holding back grants to municipalities because they don't comply with your requests and the power that you have got to ensure that they actually comply so that service delivery can take place on the ground. Link that back to Chapter 3 of Cooperative Governance. And link it also to concurrent functions at a provincial level, and how all of these things are supposed to tie in together so that services can be delivered. And to me, I see that this Chapter 3 of the Constitution, Cooperative Governance, as being a stumbling block for governments to be able to deliver services. Now, I don't know if you've internalized that within the department to say, is this Cooperative Governance system in the Constitution working or not working, and how would you want to see that change so that you can actually transfer monies to municipalities and to provinces to be able to get things done at local government level? Thanks.
Thank you,
thank you, Chairperson. As we see, it seems planning needs to play a big role here, because everything you say and when you present your budget, you need to have planned how you are going to use that money. But here, everything is being pushed back, and the money is not being used. And you already telling us about, which is a very sad thing, asking for rollovers
for those poor councillors who are waiting for their money right now. I think from the day they were not re-elected, the department knew how many councillors were not re-elected. There was coordination with SARS, because I'm sure that man, the amount they were going to get was already known by the department and SARS, because you say, as you say, they were expecting a certain amount of money, which means that the money we knew and was transferred to SARS, and we had all the information about all the councillors who just needed to be paid after the adjustment. The adjustment was many months ago, but up to now, you're still telling us that some of them haven't got their money. They haven't been working for over a year, those people, and they still don't have their money. And we've entrusted you with the responsibility of making sure that they get their money. And now we're going to ask for a rollover, and we're going to say they qualified for it. This is not a paper project that was already started to be built. You know, your excuses are always that we start a project, so we request a rollover. This is the money that just needed to come to you with all the facts done, passed over to the councillors. That pushes us to somewhere. How is your management structure? Are your managers really capable of doing their work? How is the accounting officer accounting to all this lack of commitment to service people who served us for 5 years, conscientiously served us for 5 years, and are being thanked for not getting their money? And another issue is that the clarity on community work project. I think we are going to need a report, because immediately we talk about community work project, we see something being done, money going right to the community. But here the money talks about management, and you refer to service providers, and then what amount really does what was intended, the money was intended for. If we can get a good report on community work projects, where they're actually being done, so that during our constituency work, we should understand what this project, because my councillor asked me to ask for information about this. I asked the chairperson of the portfolio committee. She told me that yes, it resides in my charter, that if a councillor asked me about community work project, you can see he's a dedicated person who wants to see something development within the community and people benefiting from this project. So if we can get a fairer report, so that our councillors must understand what this project is, and they take it to the people who voted them in. Because right now, this money goes to management, it goes to service providers, and I wonder how much is left that's tangible, and the councillor can say, this is what the community project did for the people. And another explanation that I would like to share is MISA. When you talk about MISA, you talk about Development Bank of South Africa. Then it starts confusing me with the Siamanje project. If we can know what is Siamanje, Siamanje, and what is MISA, and what is the difference, and what money is involved in these two projects, because it seems the intention is the same, but the amount of money there seems to be too much. So it's either it's one project or that two, and there's clear distinction on Senza Manje, that's this, and the intention of MISA is this. I think I'll be very happy to know the financial implications.
Thank you, Chair. Chair. I would like to say secretary, but thank you, Chair. Chair, only two questions. I was in the act and due to circumstances beyond my control. But the one thing is the councillors did they already get their money? And then my other question is just for detail, because people who are not on the council now, they ask me, where's their money? Is the money paid over to the councillors? And then some of them didn't, was only for 4 years councillors. Now they said there is a rule that says they are not allowed to get their money. Is there breakdowns or must they be full term councillors? If you can give me clarity on that. I know that's actually a portfolio question, but it is, I want to ask you that question because all of us are in a position when councillors come to you and say, where's my money? The second thing is, what is the relationship between you and Public Works and Department of Housing, Human Settlements? Because 2 years ago, we had a meeting at the Rhodes Hotel, Mandela Rhodes Hotel. And my view was that we come to the conclusion that all the problems are sorted out. But if you look at problems municipalities experience when it comes to building of toilets and sanitation and water, and it looks for me there is still a lack of coordination. And if the progress there are very slow. So I would like to know what is the situation there. And then Chair, also on program 3, the MIT funds, program 6, the spending is not good. I think that is a concern for us, especially because that is job creation. That is, at the end of the day, the loser. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Khaled Plon. I don't know if there are any more questions or comments. Chair, you're fine.
I think that was very informative presentation that we listened from this portfolio committee. We appreciate your invitation for us to come here. Some of the things that has been highlighted in this presentation, they are mainly hidden to our presentation that we received, because of mainly the department come to present the whole of the functions of the department, not necessarily just to stick to financial issues. So I just want to, there are some other questions that have been raised by members that maybe we exercise, we raise the very same questions at that portfolio committee level. When talking about a community works program, as Comrade Honorable Refilo has explained, you can testify or agree with me, members from the department, that we always at our portfolio committee level want to know. We even ask for a breakdown of the whereabouts of this project, breakdown of each province, breakdown of each municipality, because we want to testify and see and come here and say that, yes, in my constituency, I've seen the project, they are working like this and this and this. The hours, if you can also, Honorable, ask for the separate presentation on the CWP, or Ricardo will just come in and explain to us, because even to us, it was a very emotional issue, talking about that much over when saying if you can make a breakdown, saying that you've raised employment, maybe jobs for this number. And if you check the hours that they work, it works to equals to 150 per month. What are you going to do with 150 per month? So all those explanations we needed to do. I think this portfolio committee also deserves, so that you'll be able to know if there is understanding and the intended beneficiaries having benefited to this project. So what are other programs, other things that you must check? Because if we are doing oversight and monitoring, we are coming up with your programs, when doing our oversight and monitoring, we need it to see it to a success. If we see it, we see it as if it doesn't help our people. So what is it, as your turnaround strategy, that you will make this project a success? And also the issue of Mr. and C. Nzamanje, we needed a very thorough explanation from the department, like you also needed. You are saying that now they are coming up with the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, which we did receive an explanation from the department and the difference with it with C. Nzamanje. I think from your response, we're also going to dwell much on this one so that all of the members can understand. In your presentation, it has a lot of understanding, but you didn't mention any internal audits within the department. Yet you are having your project of Operation Clean Audit. And also you didn't in your support, because if you as per your mandate by the constitution is to support municipalities. But in your financial breakdowns, there is no any breakdown that you have a program. Maybe you'll advise me have a program of where have you been supporting those municipalities who especially received disclaimers, those unqualified, and to motivate those who received clean audits, maybe to mentor other municipalities. There is no budget on that one. I haven't heard anything. Chair, I think I must just wait for responses, then we'll make some follow-up.
Thanks, Chair. I think the chairperson of our portfolio has picked up a lot of the issues. One of the key things that I want to ask is, seeing that the bulk of this money that goes to COCTA is transferred, what is the monitoring mechanism that COCTA has in place? Because COCTA isn't a bank that just disperses money. It is there to ensure that service delivery takes place. So what is the monitoring mechanisms that are in place? It's good and well that MISA has now come in, which is going to be the support agency. But before MISA, there was C. Nzamanje. And before that, there was another. And before that, there was another. So it's not as though MISA has come now from a vacuum. There were other processes in place and other programs in place. So what is the support mechanism then to ensure that... I don't think that the department can abdicate its responsibility. For instance, to say DBSA is responsible for certain development and we pay DBSA. What is the department's role to ensure that DBSA fulfills its role that it has to play? That is for me crucial, Chair, because COCTA isn't a bank. It doesn't just dispense money. We're there to ensure service delivery. Much the same story on disaster relief. The portfolio, the department is very aware of 2 weeks ago, or when we got back from KZN, the issues we raised. We find, yes, there are processes that must be followed in order to release disaster relief funding. It's the first time that we have a dedicated amount for disaster relief directly to COCTA. But the information is that previously money came from National Treasury to COCTA, and COCTA then dispersed to the various provinces. But when going out, Chair, we find that there are still disaster areas from 2009, 98, I think it was, where rehabilitation hasn't taken place. And one of the issues raised by provinces is that when money is transferred, it doesn't specifically say that it is to address that disaster area that was where money was requested. So it's just a transfer that is done. So good and well, we're waiting for this last financial year for reports to come in. But what about all the others? Because on the ground, for us, it's also tracking the rent. Once money has been sent in, what happens to that money? Again, we're not a bank dispersing money. Is there any monitoring mechanism in place to go and see what has happened to that money? And that which needed to be done has really been done. Jefferson, I'm also not satisfied with the Councillor Gratuity Fund. So we will be asking for a report on that and what steps the department has put into place, because I don't really believe that everybody has tax queries and issues with tax, and therefore not. So we will ask for a report on that. And but I think also the last issue that I want to raise came out in the Auditor General's report, and that is contract management. I don't think that if there was proper contract management in place, we wouldn't sit with some of the issues that we sit, which I think is also an issue that needs to be addressed. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, Comrade Nelson. Did we give the acting DG the copy there? Well, there's something I want to raise. I want him to look as well to see what I'll be referring to. And it's okay. Yeah. No, thank you very much. You see, acting DG, I know that this issue of the councillors, the small money, the amount that we're referring to, 250. But all of us as public representatives, we have constituencies, and those people that haven't come back are our constituency members.
Yeah.
They phone us. They phone us. The chairperson can tell you, I phoned the chairperson, I phoned the minister looking for this money, because people there on the ground, they want this money. Now, well, it's a pity that members, we enter this debate at this late stage. Because this thing of of taxation of this amount is called gratuity amount. Now, I'm not sure really about the rules in terms of taxation of a gratuity. In other words, a gratuity, ordinarily, if you leave a job today, you get it the next day. It is a gratuity. I'm not sure if it is should be subject to tax. I don't understand what you call it. I'm really speaking from a point of ignorance. I don't understand the rules, but from my common sense, it's not supposed to be subjected to do. It's not a pensionable what you call it, because what goes to taxation is from pensionable what you call a salary. And this gratuity is something that says thank you for the service that you have rendered. Now, it's taxed, let alone the time that it is taking for the people to get it. I agree with what you call it, with members. The people that we're talking about, we're not talking about the CWP people who we don't know from the street. We're talking about the people that if you press a button from any municipality, and they've been there. Their names are there. I don't know if Parliament, if I'm not back in 2014, then the next day they won't know that I've ever been a member of Parliament. There will be no records that I was a member of Parliament. I don't understand the struggle that we're talking about, that of getting these names. I'm not sure that just generally, from the human point of view, I don't understand. Why should we allow this thing to prolong like this, you know? I mean, just from a humanitarian, what you call a point of view. It can't just be, it's just one of those jobs. Mm-hmm. Well, if they get it, it's fine. If they don't get it, it's okay. I think that honorable members, comrade chairperson, really for me, I really feel bad because people phone me.
Yeah.
They phone me, and I understand that those people have not received a salary for the past almost 2 years now. But the way we're working, I'm not sure if we really have their sympathy. But it's not us, so we don't care. It's not us.
No.
I don't think that we should adopt that attitude. But coming back just to your presentation, you know, what you notice here, the Mr. Mkuda at the beginning, acting DG of the presentation, you talk about the financial years that differ. We understand that. But let's just put that aside and look at your own expenditure here. If we look at what the department is supposed to be spending, let alone the transfers to municipalities, the financial years differ. But your own, what you call it, expenditure. I don't know if there's a problem as well with respect to the, it has to do with the years. You don't spend on the 1st of April because municipalities' year starts on the 1st of July. I mean, if you look at your own presentation on page 5, goods and services, where I think that the work of things are happening. At 57%. Well, I would like to see a situation where really this issue of the compensation of employees as well as under expenditure. Some people are not paid in the department. I still want to find that situation. But it's always at the right time. It's up to date. It's up to date. There's no mistake about that. But there's mistakes about services rendered. About in terms of rendering services, then we understand. You see, the issue that really worries me, I think it's Honorable Mashiko who raised it. Yes, around planning. The issue of planning. You know, Mr. Mash, I like the division of revenue. And my understanding is that all these monies are based on that. Division of revenue, what goes to national, province, or what. It says, and it's not only this new one, even if you read, you can take copies of the past 5 years or so. They say that if any department is going to have an infrastructure a project, it spells out the process of planning for that for the following year. Precisely for the reasons Mr. Mkuda is saying, that now we are on MTEF. The department sitting here knows roughly the baseline, how much is going to get come 2013, 2014. We know today. But we will not plan until 2013 for the 2013. Why do we do that when we know exactly how much that we're going to get? Because we should not be facing the under expenditure that we are facing. In fact, the other question that has been raised, that for me, because it's about those people, ordinary people who have no jobs, this community work, what you call a program. So much percent, I didn't get, I don't know, 90% is for the... But a lot of what you call money, I don't know what percentage is for the financial, I mean, it's for the service providers. So.
But this money is not meant for service providers. So. The EPWP is meant for the people. It is meant for labor intensive, what you call a kind of work. Why do we want to have service providers for that?
When you check, when saying the 90% of that amount is for service providers, they divide it into equipment and safety wear. And if you check the people at the ground, it's just a vest. They just wear only a vest, no overall, no boots, no what. But 90% of that allocation went to the service providers.
You see, but all that acting DG we're trying to say here, and I think all of us, all people have raised this thing, is that our responsibility as government is to serve the people. I mean, we've been saying since 1994, the objective of this government is to change, is to make the lives of the people better. But even when the money's now are there's a budget, the budget is there. But it doesn't reach the, what you call it, the people. The consultants must reach the money, the consultants must enrich themselves. And in fact, in some instances, not in this case, we have not noticed because we don't have, members have asked for a full report on this. In some instances, with another department yesterday, where we found that even the officials, they've got their own consultants there. So, from this money, they're also making money as well. So that's why it's fashionable to give money to consultants. I'm not saying that we have done it, but we have a problem. We have a problem. Some of the simple things. So you can organize people. It's not that those people there that are so illiterate that they can't manage this thing if there is a proper coordination from the side of government. We want consultants. If I don't come back, I'll be a consultant. I'm going to be rich because there's a lot of money for government and that we just dish out to consultants. But why do we have to do that when our people are meant to benefit? I also want this report. I agree with members so that we can know exactly how much money went to people benefited from, other than the, what you call the consultants. So that breakdown, we all want it. You know, in 2008, all of us, we know that there was a crunch. The budget has not grown as we would have loved it to grow. It is not growing. It's a bit stagnant. But, the president, the minister of finance say we must do things differently. We have to do with what we have. But I'm not sure if we're doing that. Let alone the understanding already. From the small budget as it may. The municipal infrastructure grant, it's one area where we should be creating jobs. It's one area where we should be creating jobs. It's about projects. I can tell you, you can't, Comrade Mashiro, tell me any year that we have not approved rollovers on that. Because we understand every day. But where is the problem, Mr. Mash? From Treasury, you are the person who is responsible for some of this department. Where is the problem? Can we really say to people, South Africa got a report that it is number one in terms of transparency of the budget. But planning, I'm sure we can get number last. We can be number last. Because it looks like our budgets, I'm not sure how credible are the budgets that we are passing. Because you first pass the budget, then people plan. They don't know what they want to do with this money. I
I think that, no, luckily this year, tomorrow we're going to be doing as well an annual performance plan. I'm not sure if we should just pass for the sake of what you call the passing, when we don't know what the people are going to do with the money. Because we should be doing that. So, yeah, now the issue of the disaster. You know, when we passed this the disaster relief, you must look, comrade, you must go to the adjustment, whatever, document of the budget review of National Treasury. It tells you that the idea is to ensure that the reason why this money is brought down to departments is because they want to, the intention was to ensure that this money can reach those people as quickly as possible. But there's no difference. It must go back, it must be centralized back to National Treasury. Because it doesn't help to give it to departments. Agriculture has got its own, the municipalities have got their own. But we're sitting on these monies. I mean, when there are disasters, I see ministers, they go there. But I can't understand. But I've seen a disaster in KwaZulu-Natal. I don't know where else. Every day it happens. But our poor people don't get the money. It's not because there is no money that is there. The money is there. We're not spending it. Or is it because we don't know what to do with the money? No, comrades, I think that, and honored members, really, you really need to help me. I think I'm naive, I must confess. Because immediately when there is a disaster, I think that people are supposed to know what they are supposed to be doing. If you're supposed to consult with someone in treasury, immediately, if you have this responsibility for a disaster, I suppose that you know who in treasury to speak to, or in a certain municipality about this. I don't know if you like us. Well, we don't know. We don't work directly with those people because we don't know who is going to phone. I must phone first National Treasury or a parliamentary liaison officer. Who can I speak to who deals with the disaster? Until they tell me, now I phone, I follow up. But it looks like you like us, yourselves. And there are many of these disasters. I don't know who have, when are these people going to receive these monies? I mean, even if the president says, no, things will work differently. They do not. What is easy to do? Okay.
The writer on those disaster funds, I would like the department to give us a breakdown of the money that has been used from that fund. And I also, like the chairperson, don't understand. But what is that people are supposed to be getting? When you say disaster fund, when there's a disaster in an area, what is that people are supposed to be getting? If we can know that, and where, from whom, and how. Because in most cases, when that disaster, the departments that you see in my own area, I've seen two. Those are departments that I work with there. Effectively, that is social development and home affairs. With the city, it's always a problem. Unfortunately, I'm in Cape Town, but it's always a problem. But if we can know exactly what is that we should expect from whom, how, I think it would be easy for us.
Well, thank you very much. I don't know this question. I think it was raised. The question about the clean audit. The department is the leader of the clean
sorry. Operation Clean Audit. Now, last year or the previous, what we call a financial year, the department got unqualified. But now, 2010-2011, you got qualified. Now,
I don't know. You're supposed to be leading this campaign for Operation Clean Audit. Now, I'm sure all of us, we know the crap. I come from the rural areas, Mr. Machuda. Mr. Machuda, you know the only one. The Amazon on card,
isn't it? Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know the crap, it says to Evan Bayo, who said it's Mabambe straight, Mabangmali. What I'm trying to say, Comrade Nelson, the crap, understand that it punishes its kids because they don't move straight. It's complaining. But when they ask, how should we do it? It's that you see how the crap moves. You see? So,
but on a serious note, I think that we. You really have to pull up your socks as well. But the area, the problem that we're having with the where the challenge seems to be, it seems to be in the supply chain management. And my understanding is that there are regulations regulating the supply chain management. Clearly, well, there are monies here that are involved. But it's clear that if we don't tighten this part, it's going to continue to be a challenge. No, I'm sorry to be a bit long. Okay. If I... Mr. Skid. Okay.
Supply chain management. I would ask the department to touch on the audit, AG's audit outcome for this year, and you must also tell us about your irregular expenditure, the amount of your irregular expenditure and which areas, but touch on all the issues that have been raised. And tell us what is that you are doing to ensure that the concerns that led to you to be qualified, what is that you are going to do as the leaders, as people who should be leading in this Operation Clean Audit? Because definitely you are failing your provinces. You are not leading by example. Now what is that you'll be doing? So in all these issues that have been raised by the AG, in fact, they should have been part of your report to us to say these are the areas and this is what we are planning to do. Thank you, Chair.
And the six investigations that for fraud and that have taken place in March last year, how far this process is and what the outcome, if it's not pending or if it's completed, what the outcome of that is.
I don't know about that, but what I can add on that question that the comrade is raising, is the honorable member is raising, is that what is the process of recovering those funds that
have
been used in that manner?
We're just consulting. I'm being whipped. No, Mr. Skidis.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I've tried to look at the questions that have been raised, and there are three categories of the questions. The major part of the question relates to the work of the Community Works Program, which I will ask Ricardo to respond in a few minutes, in the understanding that we will provide a detailed presentation on the date that the committee might want us to be coming back to make that presentation. And the other issue is the issue around the disaster relief funds. I will ask Ken Terry to indicate in short a little bit around some of the processes that are involved and why we have been at 0% as at the end of the third quarter. But we might want also in that regard to get a time for the National Disaster Management Center to come and present the overall view so that members of the committee might assist us in terms of how do we really come with a policy that will really say this is how we'll disperse those funds. And the third area is the area around gratuity of non-retaining councillors. Shanaz will give an indication of the processes that were involved. I think the concerns that honourable members are raising are concerns that our minister has also raised because of the nature of the way in which things have happened. But she will just give a brief outlook on that. And after they would have dealt with those, I will ask the CFO to deal with the issues of the how we dealt with the audit outcomes of the last financial year, issues around irregular expenditure, and then I will conclude by picking up some questions that are related to how the P component of the MIG will be allocated after the DORA has indicated that the 15% should be going to sports facilities. If Chair allows, can I ask Ricardo to start in a summary on the Community Works Program?
We are in your hands.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and thank you, Acting Director General, Honourable Members. Before I deal with the community program, I just wanted to respond to one issue that was raised about our collaboration and cooperation with other departments with regards to the delivery of basic services. We do, in intergovernmental structures, collaborate and cooperate with the Department of Human Settlements, Department of Rural Development, Water Affairs that is here, and a host of other departments. We have specifically set up what we call the Human Settlements and Basic Services Task Team Chairperson to deal with issues of coordination around the issue of basic services at a high level. That particular task team does preparatory work for joint technical MINMIX, which we have with the Department of Human Settlements and with other departments. So the collaboration is there at a high level, and we're encouraging this to happen at provinces as well, and there are structures in place. Some are not functioning optimally in all provinces, but in other provinces you see higher levels of success. And I must say we've achieved great strides in terms of just getting the roles and responsibilities sorted out when it comes to working with other departments. Our role as a department is obviously to ensure that departments cooperate with one another vertically, but also, horizontally, but also vertically, to take that collaboration to where it matters, and that is into the local spaces, Chairperson. I just wanted to give feedback to the Honourable Member on that. Chairperson, with regards to the Community Work Program, The success of CWP chairperson lays in its simplicity. It is in fact a very successful program if you measure it against other programs within government, but there are challenges as well, and I think members have pointed out to some of those challenges this morning. I just want to turn immediately to the issue of the underspending. The underspending on CWP, which is reflected in our records here, is actually a saving, chairperson. It's a saving on program management. Because if you look at the way the allocation is broken up, the allocation is broken up to have project management fees. Those are fees that accrue to our department to build capacity to manage a program of this size. Now, you can imagine and appreciate, chairperson, to manage 60,000 or 100,000 people at a time can be very challenging. So we've started filling the post and all of those things. Those are, that money, that 10% covers our own cost partially, and also other costs with related to the design of the program, the way we need to evolve the norms and standards, put certain payment systems, ICT systems, and all of those things in place. Those things all cost money to manage this program. Now, this program, chairperson, has a particular ratio. The way it was written and developed, there is a ratio that says 65% of the cost of CWP needs to go to wages.
I'm sorry. You know, I would like you just not to give details, to summarize, because when we started, remember I said at 11:30, we want to take So what we asked for, I think most of the members, about two or three members, spoke on this matter. They would like to have a breakdown, a detailed report on this matter. But if you, so all I'm trying to say is that please don't give those details now. And I really don't think that you have said, you know, you're raising more questions than answers. The things that worry me. Because Department of Revenue, for instance, guides us in terms of what is the percentage that should go towards administration of a project. Now you have 10%. You're taking 10%. There are many things that really, on the things, little things that you have said that worry me, which I think that are in contravention of the law.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I was just reflecting on the design of the program. So, what we're saying is that the target that was set in our annual performance plan of about 89,000 participants was actually we've been able to achieve a success rate of beyond that 89,000 target. So we've been able to go up to just over 100,000 participants during the financial year because of the savings we've realized in other areas. Towards the end of the financial year, most of that money was good, but where the problem came in was just with the capital component, where tools weren't bought by the implementing agents. But yeah, I want to turn to the other question that came up on CWP in terms of its spreads. It is being implemented in 63 municipalities around the country in just over 500 wards.
Approve a budget that when you are approving your budget, was there an amount that says what is saving? When do you get, when do you save? What is that? Just explain that. I don't know what is saving and how do you get savings. From which project do you get savings or from which amount? Just the more I ask questions, I'm sure you understand that I'm very ignorant. So I really need your help.
Thank you, Honorable Member. I think there's nothing wrong with the question. It's actually, maybe I should express it differently as surpluses, because we haven't utilized the money and there were cost efficiencies that we've been able to realize on program management.
So you're saying
you are confusing
me
more.
Just tell me what is savings. Don't you surplus and just explain to me how do you get savings?
No.
You
understand
the savings.
Chairperson, we've actually, as I've indicated, the program has 10% allocated to project management and program management. The rest goes to sites, and included in that is the wage component. Now, on the project management, we haven't spent all the money on appointing staff. We haven't spent all the money on putting certain systems in place, which are very costly. So we diverted that money to sites. That money enabled us to employ more people on site level, Chairperson. So essentially, that is what we are saying.
Chair, I don't agree with this term savings, because savings is nothing else but underspending on an amount, on a money that they have budgeted. If they have not used it, it can't be savings.
Well, I think that that's alarming to
thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just wanted to conclude with the spread. And indeed, we will make the list available during the presentation that we will do to the two committees with more detail on in which wards specifically they are and how many people are participating at those sites, in those sites at ward level, Chairperson. So I think it will be better if we follow up with a more proper and detailed presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. In terms of the disaster relief funding, I won't go into too much detail, but just to indicate there's two parts to disaster relief funding. One aspect of it is the immediate disaster relief, where immediately after the disaster has happened, there's a verification done by the municipality or the province involved, and they send they do a declaration based on that, and they send it through to us, and then we deal with immediate disaster relief. I think that it's quite unprecedented that in the two disasters that have happened since December this year, that we were able to finalize Mpumalanga and Limpopo through sending our own colleagues from the National Disaster Management Center into the provinces to assist them. And we were able to, within 2 months, finalize the payments, which was indicated by the CFO. The KZN one took a bit longer because they only did their declaration at the end of March through processes that they had to follow themselves. And currently we've also deployed from the NDMC our service providers, our engineers, to go and do a verification of all the disasters. This is for post-reconstruction that has to take place. The immediate relief has been finalized, and we've also pushed them quite hard. In terms of all the parts of the country that were exposed and that there's relief being sought, we have finalized, with the exception of KZN, which hopefully by the end of April those PSPs would have concluded, and then we can start doing the presentations via the Minister to the Treasury for the finalization of the post-reconstruction disaster funding that they would have applied for. Just to say, Chair, that to give the committee some comfort is that the Minister has taken this quite seriously, and we have now in the establishment created two senior posts at the Chief Director level. One is for the verification process of all disasters, which is headed currently by, we've got an engineer employed over there to assist us to make this work easily. And we've also created a monitoring and evaluation component specifically to address the the post-reconstruction processes to avoid this process where funds are allocated to provinces and to municipalities, and we're not sure that they are actually utilized for post-reconstruction based on disasters that have taken place. Our own short analysis since I've been there since January is that in the past few years that predominantly the disasters that are happening are weather-related and the major disasters. The fire ones are more related to any time of the year, but the major disasters that happen are weather-related, and it's in the monsoon season, which is between November and end of January, beginning of February. And that also relates to the 0% payment that has taken place currently, because our big expenditure will only take place after the verification process, and that will run into the new financial year. That's just very briefly, Honourable Chairperson. As the Acting DG had indicated, we will give a more comprehensive breakdown of exactly what all the processes are that we do follow and what processes the Department is putting in place by creating additional capacity to ensure that we do speed up the process, because even for ourselves, the process is very long and very tedious. Thank you.
Shana?
Thank you. Thank you for that explanation. But what I want to know, Chair, is the gentleman is saying that they wait for, they get some verification or from municipalities, and then the payments. What sort of payments? When do you pay, and how do you pay? And you have referred to disaster that are as a result of weather, and are those that are as a result of fire. Are they different? You treat them different in terms of payment, and when do you pay, and how do you pay? I'm really interested because we have a number of disasters in the Western Cape, more especially fire disasters, and now that it's going to be winter, it's also going to be rain. But the only assistance that I know from the city councils is those sites, I don't want to call it, the sites that they built the sheds with. That's the only thing that I know. Even areas that have been declared disasters, I've never heard of any money that is paid. So that's why I want to know, when do you pay, what is that you need for you to pay, and is it all? So it's just that.
Maybe in coordination.
Chairperson, I come back to KZN again. KZN, we found people whose houses have collapsed.
Mm.
One section of the house had collapsed in the previous disaster that they had. They continued to live in that house because they had nowhere to go. In this storm of, now the latest one, the other section of the house collapsed. These people are still living in the house.
Yeah.
So there's 2 years,
two disasters,
and two sections of the houses collapsed. Now, human settlements must be involved. What is the collaboration between disaster management and human settlement, and how is it tracked? There are other instances where people were living under plastic because the immediate intervention is just to cover the house up with plastic. Are we going to wait till 6 months, 12 months for those people to live under plastic? What is the medium-term intervention?
Until the place has been declared, waiting.
Yes.
So we can see that there is disaster.
We know people. We know social services going out. We know people are being put into walls. People are being fed by social development and so on. But how do we ensure? And then to crown it all, you've got an RDP house standing that the person had to move into, but doesn't have a roof since 2007. So they're living in this dilapidated house because there's no roof on the RDP house, which was built in 2007. So how do you bring these things together, Chair, between disaster relief and human settlement? I hear there's a task team now, but these are long, long, long outstanding issues, Chair. Thanks.
So clearly, the Department of
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. I'm going to briefly speak to the gratuity for non-returning councillors. I fully hear you and take to heart the important sense of extraordinary urgency that we must bring to this project for these very valuable public servants, and these are bread and butter issues. There are some dire realities that people are dealing with. And Chairperson, it might not, from the progress to date, appears if we are as alive to it as we are. The project team that's within my area of responsibility, in partnership with National Treasury, with SALGA, with our finance team, with the IEC, we are working closely on this to bring this project to conclusion. Yesterday, the select committee also urged us to make sure that all payments are finalized by the 15th of May. Payments to date that we have made as of today is 20% out of the total number. Now we know we need to step up. I do not want to offer any excuses to or explain or justify any of the delays, but I would like just for this honorable committee to appreciate just a few minor facts that will just assist when you are confronted with any further questions. We will submit a comprehensive report on this project to your good selves. But just to say that we are actively working at speeding up the payments, resolving with the IEC any unclear matters of a number of cases that we need to get finality on, so that we do not pay any ghost counselors and we act responsibly and disciplined in this way with urgency. We will again follow up on the tax matter that the chairperson have indicated, that we just need to see what further possibility might exist there. The issue around the full time, yes indeed, it is unfortunately only for full time counselors that serve the entire period. Even if there's a counselor that missed one day short, that's the rules of this process, unfortunately. So what that means and what we are appreciating, there's a fallout process here. There's a fallout process for counselors that might not qualify. There's a fallout process for counselors that might not get as much out of the payment because of tax issues if there's not a way around that particular aspect. So those are things that would need to be managed, unhappiness that will need to be managed within the system. In terms of process, and now this is the first time that we've done gratuity payments to former councillors. We did not have an established system in place before. So from the date that SALGA mooted this position to, you know, magic work needing to be done behind the scenes to get the money from Treasury, which initially said they didn't have money for this. Then with political intervention, the money became available. Money was transferred to us. So there was a number of administrative issues that were not in place, that needed to be put in place in order to speed up payments. Ourselves, with our partners, National Treasury and SALGA, we wanted to find the most efficient way of paying 2,000 and triple four counselors so that we get the money to people quickly. And our initial preference was to do it through, if you like, an agency arrangement where we pay the municipality. There were so many former councillors here. You have their details. You have a closer distance between them. You pay them the money. They can come and knock on your door. That we put all our eggs in that basket and ran with it. Only in December, when I came on board, we found out that there's legal opinion that makes that not possible. So we had to retrack and reconfigure our project approach, and effectively, after much consultation and brainstorming, we had to go the individual route where our department has to individually pay out each counselor. Now, we did not have all the counselor details. We needed to verify the bank details. We needed to make sure where bank details have changed because we couldn't just rely on what the municipality had on its books. And that was a major undertaking. We had teams doing multiple visits over an intensive period to each province, working closely with provinces to mobilize the former councillors through SALGA so that we can go from bank to bank, get forms stamped, and get all the information that's required to enable payment. Now that that system is in place, we are moving faster. And now also there's a little bit of confidence that came into the system now that 486 councillors have been paid, word of mouth saying, listen, payment is happening. So at least there's some movement, and we will speed that up, Honorable Chairperson and members. Just to say, we would also want to institutionalize the system so that next term of local government, when the next batch of former councillors would need to get this gratuity, the system is then well-established, oiled, and we are more experienced ourselves in implementing the system with greater efficiency. We sincerely apologize for the hardship that's been caused with keeping, you know, honorable councillors, former councillors waiting, and we will do better. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Mine, I'll deal with two issues. One is the audit outcomes and the matter of the former minister. Chairperson, I must first of all assure the Honorable Committee that as a department and this management here, we take it very seriously and we take it as our responsibility that there is no under-expenditure. We know for a fact that any money that left unspent in the department, the impact they have on the communities there are very huge. And we take, it's part of the monthly meetings or weekly meetings that we have to discuss the expenditure patterns of the department and to take the corrective measures where are needed. But coming to the audit outcomes for the last financial year, the Honorable Member has asked, after the audit process, what we did as a department, we developed what we called post-audit action plan, very comprehensive one. It was not based on the audit report per se, but on the management letter,
which includes things that are not necessarily in the
audit report, but those are inclusive. And on that, we took it to all the structures of the department, did the awareness program. It was taken to the audit committee. The AG looked at it, and it was agreed. And we are implementing that plan as we speak now. And for the record, we can make that plan and the status of it in terms of implementation and the work that has been done by our internal audit to verify the effectiveness of the implementation programs that are in that plan. We can make it as part of the submission to the committee. And it addresses all issues raised here, the irregular expenditure and the fruitless and wasteful expenditure that was reported in the previous financial year. And all those things are there. But if I may just mention, the irregular expenditure that happened is as a result of extension of contract, which is about 98% of what was reported. And those contracts have been regularized, except one which will be finalized in due course, that is this month. Chairperson, comes, I'm not sure I didn't hear it properly. That's why I'm saying perhaps the way I hear it is about the issue relating to the former minister, but if it's not, I wish to be corrected. The Honorable Member referred to the fraud, or is it, did I get it correctly?
Yes, Chairperson, it's not related to the previous minister. I pick it up on... Page 25. it says that there was irregular expenditure. Some of these were related to supply chain management and one related to fraud. All six investigations were conducted in March 2011. So I think it comes out of the supply chain management. Five of them come out of supply chain management.
The report that we're referring to, you will get it from the acting DG. That's why we said we'll make a copy available to yourself. Actually, that report is the report of the AG, actually, I'm sure you have.
Yes.
It comes from the AG. It's a summary of that report of the AG. It's not a new thing.
Okay, thanks, Pastor. Now we'll respond to it as we receive it. But as far as we know, is we talk about irregular expenditure. And as I said, all irregular expenditure reported is included in the post-audit action plan, which will make it available to the committees, to the committee for consideration. And I think Chairperson has responded to all issues that relate to.
Now you have not said you now.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I will only take perhaps 1 minute. There was a question that is relating to how the fee component will be allocated to municipalities. The fee component will be allocated according to the big formula. Now, what will happen is that a municipality will take 15% of what it is receiving and conditionally allocate it to sporting activities. So that is how the fee component has to be dealt with within municipalities. There was also one question that is related to clarity around the differences between MISA and Senza Manje. There were two components in Senza Manje that was administered by the Development Bank of South Africa. One was the financial component and the infrastructure component. The financial component resorted back to the National Treasury, and the infrastructure component came to the department through MISA. But because MISA was an agency that we needed to be finalized as a government component, we then said that all the engineers that way in the Development Bank should continue to do work on behalf of the department until such time that the president has signed MISA as a government component. So that is the reason why the department needs to verify invoices that come from the Development Bank on the engineers that are based in municipalities doing infrastructure work. The financial part in National Treasury, they've come up with the Municipal Finance Improvement Program, where 77 advisors have been deployed to municipalities to deal with. Yeah, let me just finalize. Okay. In conclusion, Chair, we will want to provide detailed reports on issues around gratuity, the issue around disaster, and the issue around the community works program. We might need to be advised by the chair and the committee as to when we can submit those presentations so that members have enough time to look up on those presentations so that when we come, they are well aware of what we have really presented. And I think lastly, the issue around the last question that was raised, which the CFO was trying to answer, on the report on all the supply chain management irregular expenditure. We'll also provide that particular report. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much.
how I wish we had more time, because a lot of questions, challenging questions have been raised. We have not dealt with those questions extensively individually, but it's clear that we will have to work with the portfolio committee to address some of the issues, especially dealing with issues that we have just raised. But also, at least it's gratifying to hear that at least we have started paying those councillors so that we can have reports when we go back to them that, well, the process has started. If it doesn't reach you, it's going to reach you anyway. But I think that everything is, I'm feeling very strong around this issue of the taxation of the gratuity. But like I say, that I don't know the law around that. But I know that in some cases, gratuity is not taxed. So I don't know why in this case it was taxed, or because the decision was taken late. But maybe if we'll hear from your investigation. But also, you hear? But see, what we would like you to do, there might be other questions now that were not responded to. The request will be that if you could respond in writing to some of those questions. Normally, acting TG, we ask for 7 days. We know this is a short week. It's a short week, but I guess that this other report, your committee works program report, and the disaster ones might take a little bit. I don't know. Maybe we'll be generous with you that. Today we are on the 25th. That next week Friday is the it's the fourth, ne? Fifth, the fifth on the 12th, ne? Otherwise that other Friday, if we could get those reports. But this I'm talking now. I'm just referring to the disaster one, and the community works one. But the others. We do need them as maybe by Friday next week, because when you compile the report, in fact, all of them, we should have the full, what you call, the understanding of what happened. But if those reports as well, which I guess you have, could come earlier, they would really assist us. The other thing that I would really like us to discuss in future is your transfers, whether it's to DPSA or to municipality, because the DPSA seems to be saying DPSA must first spend and then claim. Our understanding of transfers are that if your entity A is entitled to 100 rand, you give the 100 rand, you monitor the expenditure as long as the plan is there. I think it is an important thing, but I think, I'm not sure, I understand the work that you're trying to do to ensure that there is accountability and whatnot, but also I think we should also look at on the other side of the coin, that we don't make it too difficult for the entity that side to implement this work. I think that maybe, I don't know if we will invite you for the appropriation, because this MISA, I know that when it started, it has certain objectives. We don't know now where it is, but the way you're describing it, it's exactly what you call members were asking about the difference between Sierra Manje and it. But when it was introduced to the committee, the understanding was that it would be a little bit different from Sierra Manje. That's exactly why you had to transform Sierra Manje to. But now you seem to be saying the same thing, that it was introduced as a special purpose, right? But now you don't seem to be saying that. So that's why I'm saying we need to follow up on a number of these, what you call the issues, community purposes, whether it's yourself or us. But the reason for we invite you, because we want you to follow up mostly on these things that we might not be able, as appropriation, to follow up on all the departments on these issues. But the report that we have spelled out will come to us and we'll share with the portfolio committee. On that note, I would really like to thank you very much for your presentation. Thank you very much, and apologize. Would like to apologize to Water Affairs. Honored members, the time now is 11:52. Can we have a 3 minutes break so that we can allow the department to move? Mr. Manje, you were supposed to have commented. You know, we didn't give you that opportunity, but you still have time. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think this is
Honourable members, abana ke ama officials bona ke hayi no ngiyabaxosha silanje ama member kuphela. the work done in Yagatem. You know, we came back, we raised questions, and, you know, to get answers, we had to extract blood, you know. Finally, we got the answer, the responses, and the responses, one was undated, there was no signature. And we spoke to a number of people trying to raise this thing, but guys, tell us, is this your official response? Because if it is official response, it's fine, but to us, if it is, there's no date, there's no signature, we even raised the matter with the minister. We kept on talking to, but Miss Matt, you're not a member. Why are you sitting amongst the members there? No, but you must just go to elections if you want to sit there. Wow, okay. Until I had to speak to, I had to call Miss Matt to say, look, we're taking this. And everybody, now when we've compiled the report comes now, what is perceived to be the right report. There was nothing we could do. All I'm trying to say is there are problems. We have problems even when we are visiting those projects. I don't want to relate to you too much stories about what happened when we visited those projects. We are still going to debate those reports. You will have the full information about that. But that's just because we do not have time. Let us quickly talk about the expenditure. Where's the... Albertina, can you help me? Can you give the DG a copy of our? We've got more copies, mate. Yeah. Just open that page. That is page 15. For him. DG. Just a privilege that we're giving you. You're not supposed to see that report. But in the context, in the spirit of transparency, we're giving you. Because what we did when we looked at this, to us, the third quarter report, third quarter expenditure, is very, very important. It's more important than any other one to us, because it tells us what to expect going forward. We're able to know that, no, this department, if there are miracles, they come up with miracles and tell us at the end of the year that, no, we have the exhausted the budget, we know that that budget did not translate into any project, because it's difficult for a department that is at 46% in December to have exhausted the budget by the end of March, in 3 months' time, what it could not do in 9 months. So that's why to us the third quarter report becomes very critical. Now, if you look at that page 15, then, DG, we look at the pattern of expenditure over the past 3 years. For instance, Okay. For instance, I'm being shown something now. I'll tell you so that we can sync from the same page. Just want to see page 5. Same page 5. Well, Okay, on page 5. No, sorry, it's on page 5, yes. On page 5, we have looked at the third quarter report from 2011, 2012, 47%. Clearly, it's going down. The expenditure is going down. The department is not improving. And that's what worries the members, that the work that we do in the department every day. And I remember those years, we used to invite the department constantly. You remember, Honorable Swart? We would invite them almost jump one quarter, Madam, you know, from NSOP, all over. We would invite what you call to say, look, but we thought that there would be, the whole objective of inviting you is to say to us, share with us your challenges. How can we assist to address those challenges so that we could improve the expenditure could improve. But if it is declining, then it's saying to us, well, you're not doing anything. So that is what you call it. That's what is happening. So we're saying now, we want answers from yourself to say, but what is the problem? Why is this thing happening? You know? Well, I don't want to go to the details of it, but I think that they're very important. Some programs, we were at 37%, you know, water sector program 2. But what is the challenge, Fiji? Program 3, 33%. Program 4, regional implementation, and 52%, we have a challenge. You know, because we don't have time, we know your mission and vision and all those things. But if ngangena nje apho kufele khona ithole, andazi ngesilungu ukuthiwa. Bazotolika abanye. Siye nje apho kufele khona ithole. What is the problem?
Mamzango ufuna ukutolika, kuthiwa ngesilungu. I don't know what to do, but to teach you,
and I can help us.
That's totally good. What I'm trying to say is that the department, we don't want the preambles and what. They must go straight to the issues. Why are they experiencing this challenge? Fiji, yeah. If you could introduce yourself and the department and your guide there.
Thank you, Chair. Of the Committee on Appropriation and members of the committee. My name is Maxwell Tsikhenya. I've taken leadership of the department in January.
No.
So I've just finished 3 months. But in the spirit of accountability, I take full responsibility for all things that happened in before my time. However, it's not pleasant to start with apologies. Even before introduction, I have to apologize for the things you've mentioned, Chair. including the one doubt about this meeting. Certainly, we've got a homework to do in terms of coordinating structure, COO mainly. I only learned about her appearance here just a few days ago. So obviously something is wrong, because we're here most of last week for our own portfolio committee meetings. We were here yesterday for the National Council of Provinces. Both of those we only learned about a few days ago. Yes, the program of parliament changes, and I'm not so sure then you know, what happened in this particular instance. But I attach equal importance to all committees we have to appear to. There are certain rules, including answering of parliamentary questions, time frames for those, and strict adherence to those. So, but clear, I accept there's a challenge. I'll do a homework. I must apologize that I haven't had time to sit with you before this particular meeting. It tends to help. Most of these things we would have discussed and found a way of dealing with them. But be that as it may, we'll go with that and try to correct that, Chair. I have got members of the team that will, two of them will make the presentation. We are here, I think, in adequate strength to respond to all questions that will be raised. In presentation is the CFO on my left, Ms. Funda Kube Ndabiseng, who's responsible for the main programs of our department in terms of accounting. That's the lady. Just raise your hand so that members see you. Yeah, raise the hand so that they see you. Okay. On my right, I do have Faisal Ismail. There are those trading activities of the department, because our business is water, and part of that is a trading activity, including the infrastructure that's built for it. The two of them will make presentations one after the other. On the right, Spati Hotchot, Mr. Tandela Mbasa, responsible for the region, some of those programs. In fact, the biggest spending is an area of responsibility, regions, in terms of allocation of the budget. I'm not sure about, And then, in terms of the staff who come with, we've got behind Mr. Masangu, acting in the corporate services, so issues relating to skills, vacancy list, and all those, because those kind of questions, I think members want to, there's a trial run last week, there's a lot. The accounting officer will talk account what was spent, but any detail, discussions, why things have happened, although answers are presented in the presentation, the other members will come at question time. It's not just them because they are presenting. And across, Chair, you just mentioned your visits. You are doing big infrastructure spending at the DDG for that area of National Water Resources Infrastructure, which is our mandate. Is Ms. Zandile Mate. She also has adequate opportunity last week and yesterday to talk on those today or question time. Anything you want to clarify on that, including things that went wrong at those programs, she is here. And right at the far end, that's Solima Buddha. These programs, projects, before they are built, they go through planning. Planning for infrastructure. That's the chief. So we spend on planning, we spend on... Yes, okay.
Yeah.
So I think he's well prepared in terms of anticipated questions. He should be able to account. And then we've got our parliamentary reps, who you should know. I don't think they need the introduction. Yeah, with her as well. We've got Vincent. We've got Errol here. They are here, resident here in Cape Town. We come periodically from Pretoria or Botswana. Have I left anybody out?
No,
Chair, in the interest of time, then, as you say, let's get straight to the issues. Ms. Fundagumi?
Honourable members, I will definitely ask for a few minutes after one.
Chair, ask the CFO to start with the presentation, Ms. Tabiseng Fundagumi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members. In the interest of time, I'm not going to go into details from what we have already highlighted. I'll shoot straight to slide 4, where I would indicate the bulk of the money that is allocated to, which is in regional implementation and support. It takes about 52% of the budget allocation, and as 31st of December, it was sitting at 52%. And the program 3, it was sitting at 34%. But however, I should indicate that my colleague from the WTE side will go into details in terms of the spending of program 3. Okay. Oh, okay, Chairperson. I will try all my best to not to use any across. If we move forward then to the next slide, that is according to the economic classification. In terms of compensation of employees, we were spending 63%. And goods and services, we set at 84%. And transfers was 50%, and payment of capital was 38%. I'll go into details in terms of what could have been the reasons for underspending. I indicated that bulk of our budget is spent on Program 4. I therefore give all the projects that make up the budget of 4.7 billion. If we look at the slide that start with the operation budget, bulk infrastructure was sitting at 46%, and ASIP was sitting at 23%, which is the bulk of the money that is allocated to that project. Water services project was sitting at 17%, and even during the end of the financial year, there is underspending in that project. We'll further details on what could have been the challenges. So all in all, Program 4 was sitting at 52%. The reasons for the underspending for the department for that quarter, in overall, it's based on the vacant post that is not being filled. For Program 1, we have the vacant posts that are not filled. Part of the contributing factors in terms of the underspending was the late submissions by big contracts that we have, especially with the IT-related services, and also with regard to invoices by Department of Public Works. Program 2, the key contributing factors to that is also the unfilled vacant posts, but mainly on the issue of the OSD, it becomes difficult to attract the OSD based on the requirements that needs to be met by the candidates. One of the issues that contributed was the issue of the late submissions of invoices in respect of the construction of the gauging stations and other projects that expenditure was low, where it was supposed to have been anticipated to run during the third quarter, but unfortunately it could not kickstart. But mainly for program two, the bulk of the money was sitting with the AMD, where the invoices could not be processed on time, and as such, the invoices for the AMD was then processed during the fourth quarter. Acid mine drainage. My apologies. Program three, most of the challenges was invoices that were not submitted for processing. They were submitted, but however, in terms of making sure the quality assurance of the supporting documents that accompanied the invoices, we had to put on hold on the invoices to process them until all the relevant supporting documents were supplied. Those were done, and then the invoices were then processed. That you will see the results of the expenditure on program three, that it has jumped from 34% to 100% at the end of the financial year. Program four, as I've indicated earlier on,
from 34%
to 100%. Okay, for program four, same reason as I've indicated in terms of the vacant posts, as well as the special project of regional bank infrastructure grant and the some of the projects were not some of the projects were delayed in terms of the starting time. But also to indicate that projects that are related to regional bank infrastructure are not measured based on the straight line approach, but it's depending on the spending pattern in line with the implementation phase of the project itself. And also we were faced with unforeseen challenges that we experienced with the municipalities. Municipalities are appointed as our implementing agents for the project, and due to the delays from them to submit the invoices, we could not then proceed with the finalization of the invoices. So one other thing that has been picked up from the municipalities is the lack of technical capacity from their side and other contributing factors. Going forward with the program four, the transfer payments, as I've indicated earlier on, were sitting at 50%, and transfer payments to the municipalities are done as per the schedules of a Division of Revenue Act. In the process of making the payments to the municipalities, some of the payments were then rejected due to the incorrect banking details that were not corresponding to the National Treasury. So when we process the payments, the safety web rejected, because what has been submitted by the municipalities is not what has been recorded with National Treasury. We then resolve the issue. Then the trend of those particular months then fell over in the next quarter. I think I've indicated the issue of the municipalities as being our implementing agents. When we realize that we have the slow spending during the third quarter of the month, we then engage as a department as to see how can we make and fast track all the projects. We then did the recovery plans on how to resolve the issues, mainly on those big amounts that could have been spent during the third quarter. For transfers, we had regular engagements between ourselves, National Treasury, and the municipalities. In that case, we were trying to resolve the issue of the banking details and reconcile between what National Treasury has and what the municipality has submitted. And we also make sure that we adhere to the payment schedules. And that's why by the end of the financial year, all the payments that were due to the municipalities were done. With regard to the special projects as well as water services projects, we engaged the rapid response unit to support the regions as well as the municipalities. In some instances, we then appointed the PSPs to support the municipalities. That was put as a medium-term goal, not for a long term. We also did the reallocation of funds from the slow-moving projects. We discovered that in some regions, the project was not moving as fast as it could have been, whereas the other regions were able to utilize the capacity. Then we did the reallocation within the allocated budget of the grant. We compiled acceleration action plans, which amongst others has included the contract that has been divided in so that they run concurrently to accelerate the implementation. With regard to the operation budget, it's mainly on the issue of the vacant post. We really trying all by all means to fast track the filling of the position. Going forward to Program 5 in terms of the underspending, various projects could not take off due to the shortage of staff that we have, and as well as the late submission of invoices. I have indicated on that in the previous programs as well. For Program 6, it's mainly our International Water Corporation, and the one of the reasons that could not spend at that moment was the number of international engagements committed, but due to the unforeseen dynamics with the neighboring countries, those engagements could not take place as envisaged. That is briefly in terms of the third quarter. But I must indicate that we have since have improved in terms of the spending. We are now sitting at 92% in overall of the department from 47%. But we during the process we really have identified things, gaps that as a department we need to improve on, so that we don't face a situation where we would need to do recovery plans during the third quarter term. Since it only been implemented from this current financial year, from last year we started engaging the units within the department in terms of the demand plans. We have now have the approved demand plans. They may not be as accurate as we would want to be, but for a start, we have started with, so that the plan should talk to your business plan, so that when the budget is allocated, it's allocated according to the plans that you have done. We have also introduced the budget committee that would have to sit on a quarterly basis in preparation to the sittings, as you have mentioned, Chairperson, that in previous years you used to call us on a quarterly basis. But then we feel that in a department as well, we need to introduce that. We have engaged with National Treasury. We have started with the quarterly meetings with National Treasury already. As well as the department, we have started with a CAPEX committee that will look at all the projects and in terms of the allocation of the budget in that. But as I've indicated earlier, one of the major underspending contributing factor is the vacant posts. We are fast tracking the filling of the vacant posts. And the other major thing that we have as a department is the lack of project management skills within the officials. We are engaging with HR units in order to provide training for contract management as well as project management to all senior management. But mostly because I have indicated earlier on that part of the contributing factors was the municipalities. There's been an engagement in terms of strengthening the alignment of grants between the relevant departments like human settlement and culture as well as rural development. That will be the end of my presentation in terms of the third quarter. I'll then hand over to my colleague to take us through in terms of the program track.
Thank you very much.
Program 3, the Nandonis and the...
I thought
I was saving time, change, so that
no,
I didn't
no,
go
no, through. Mind you, that's
okay.
All the
okay. Yes.
Thank you, James. Just with respect to the configuration, why I'm also talking today is that the department's got two accounts. It's got a water. The department's got two accounts. It's got a water trading account and a main account. W. Sen just spoke about the main account. Why I'm talking here today is water trading account has got a number of different sources of funds. One, it's got augmentation funding, which is the 2.3 billion, which Ndabi Singh mentioned. And as at 31st of December, we were at 34% expenditure, which amounts to 806. There's two sets of accounts. One, for the main account, you've got the accounts are run on BAS and et cetera. On our side, we actually do the actual payments out to suppliers and service providers, etc. So there will be a timing difference when we actually pay and when we make the claims, generally. Also, from a verification point of view, there will be there may be timing differences. As at the end of December, the actual expenditure reflected in our books, motor trading account, with regard to the 2.3 billion, was in fact 1.5 billion. It was 600 and some odd million higher than what's reflected in the main account. And the reason for that is, and Tabi Singh has alluded to earlier, was that she shared some concerns around signing the invoices, simply because she was not comfortable with the supporting documentation attached underpinning it. I took over as interim CFO at the beginning of December, and Zandi took over on the 1st of December as well. So we're fairly new. We looked at the invoices. We then analyzed, got all the information, project plans, etc. And during January, the payments were made. So at the end of December, the actual expenditure that was incurred was in fact much higher than the 34%, just to clarify that point. However, the expenditure was nevertheless very low. This 2.3 billion that we also talk about is earmarked for three for three things. Firstly, it's 180 million that is payable to COBWA. COBWA is a joint venture between ourselves and Swaziland to repay loans and interest for Majuba and Rikopis Dam. Secondly, it is also to support Proto CMAs. Proto CMAs, catchment management agencies, to support them, which basically is to subsidize the under-recovery as a result of the pricing strategy, which does not enable us to recover fully all the required expenditure to run those proto CMAs. Then we've got some 1.9 billion, which pertains to infrastructure development. So we have a construction unit in-house, we have engineering services in-house, and we've got other support services, mainly financial management, which looks after and provides services to the NWRI, which is the infrastructure cards, and also the Proto CMOs, which I've mentioned earlier on. Why I'm talking about all of this is just to show that there's obviously expenditure that has been incurred, and there's this timing difference. It's at the end of December, however, we were sitting at 1.5 billion versus the 2.3 billion, which was 879 million underspent, predominantly in infrastructure projects. I'm now talking about, that's as of December. I'm saying there was an under expenditure of 879 million, as reflected on the slides there. So 63%, whereas, and Dubby saying on the main account reflected 34%. I was just explaining that difference firstly. Nevertheless, if you look at it on a straight line basis, we were three quarters through the year, so in theory we should have been at 75%. However, we were at 63%, and I'm now going to explain that there's a number of fundamental reasons why that has happened. Firstly, in the nature of projects, obviously a project just doesn't happen overnight. There's the planning, which you alluded to earlier on. There's also site establishment, appointment of contractors, and then the actual construction work. So some of the allocation in various projects, which I'm going to talk about now, has actually been wasn't done correctly. So some of the projects were allocated funding, and they were actually not at the stage where they were ready for implementation. That necessitated us in the fourth quarter to reprioritize and to take funds from non-performing, you can move the next to the next one. That's the recovery plans already. So I'm talking now about the reprioritization. What we did in order to rectify the situation was basically to reprioritize from projects which were not ready to spend and those that were. Develop detailed project plans. Also make sure that we expedite our SCM processes, our appointment processes, making sure that we invoice on time, making sure that Tabi Seng on the main account is comfortable. We provide her with all the necessary information such that she can timelessly sign the documentation, etc. So those were all the actions that we took to make sure that in the final quarter, we able to spend all our money. You can go to the next slide, please. Please go to the next slide. There's the expenditure. Okay, I don't know if it doesn't show everything there, but basically that slide is supposed to show that. Where are you now? 31st. Please go. Keep going. Back one. That's where we're at. So now I'm just talking about the last quarter. In the last quarter, as it's reflected there, and Dabi Singh mentioned earlier on that we moved.
No, we can't discuss
that. Don't have to discover that. Just about that. Okay. Okay. Perfect. Done? Done? Okay.
open stage, maybe question time. Honourable members, maybe we should we can engage with the department. We will definitely invite the department for appropriation. I think where we will have sufficient time to engage with them, to get clarity on some of the issues that they are raising now. But can I invite comments, Honorable Snell? Honorable Dr. Van Dijk, Honorable Gerard Blom, you want to comment on this?
Yes, sir. I actually want to ask one question.
Okay, let's allow Honorable Snell and Ma? We can't pretend that we haven't seen the fourth quarter figures. Okay? We don't have to interrogate them.
Yeah.
But to me, to interrogate third quarter figures, where I might be making a terrible assumption, and assumptions are normally dangerous things to make. But it almost looks like creative accounting has assisted in sorting out the fourth quarter figures, right? So, to what extent do we want to interrogate the third quarter figures? You see what I'm saying? I'd rather wait, my own personal opinion, I'd rather wait for them to come when we look at the appropriation and they come with some kind of finalized numbers. Because you get one set of things up to the end of December, you spend 2%, you get adjustment appropriation. You ask for additional 48 or so million onto a figure, then in 3 months you can spend 442 million.
But you are not able to spend in 9 months.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can't. You see, you can spend 7 million in 9 months and then 442 million in 3 months. So I just don't know the credibility of what we're looking at. That's my, really my point.
Can I start outside, Honorable Farrell Block?
Thank you, Chair. Since 2009, the same thing every quarter on filled vacant posts. I think one other time we must urgently look at this. Second one is that thing of the municipalities. Now, what did the Department of Water, that is on Program 4, transfer payments to various municipalities were rejected due to incorrect banking details which were not corresponding to national treasury safety. Now, what did the department do to help the municipalities to rectify this? And then the third thing, Chair, is who is in charge of that water licenses of the department? Because I sit here with a thing that was registered at the department in 2008. Not to say they don't have to send from the department. That is a project that is for about 300 new work opportunities. Stompers Drift Dam at Ceres. The people don't want to send a black empowerment project. The people don't want to send money. The region already say, okay, no problem, Mr. Khan, in 2008. Now this thing is in the court, not to fight the department, just to get the answer from the department. Now what is the legal cost involved in that? See, and that is our biggest problem. I raise it because I told the people who phoned me, please ask that question. They don't want the cent, they only want the answer from the department, yes. It will not cost the department a cent, but it is jobs that is not filled. And it creates, it is, I'm honest with you, Chair, we have a little bit of frustrations with that. Up to that, there's nothing to do, it's actually a question for the portfolio committee, but we had to raise it here, because at the end of the day, it also equipped money spending and jobs in our lives. And then, not in our province, but The only thing of the accommodations in the regions. Chair, some of these things is for me a little bit coming on for many years. That is our biggest concern, that the same thing every time. And I think we must urgently address this issue. There was this other thing on transfers, borrowers. That's the other thing on the third quarter. Only 14% is spent, am I right? Now, Chair, if you look at the drought situation in South Africa, 2/3 of this country is actually drought areas. And that is where we must get money, where we must get water. I'm coming from the rural areas in the semi-desert, in the Plain Karoo and Karoo. The people are hungry for this. And I think you must urgently look at this. We cannot have this on the budget, as people are crying outside and saying, but we don't get answers from the department. So that is my view as a point. What must I tell my constituency if only 14% of the borrowers is spent on borrowers? So I think, Chair, urgently we have to intervene. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dr. Pandek. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on the economic classification slide, on the very last program there, the payments for capital assets, I would like to know if we break up the program to different items, what items are we talking about there? And I see you spent only 38% on those different capital assets on the different items, and surely, you know, I'm aware that some of these projects will be financed only by completion, and that normally happens at the end of the financial year, but I see that 85% was spent at the end of the day. So there are certain capital assets which were not done, and I assume that is uncompleted projects or projects that has been done away with. And then secondly, Chairperson, what is meant by the so-called unperformed project? What is an unperformed project? Why is it an unperformed project? Why was it budgeted for, and what made it an unperformed project? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Dr. Funding. Yes,
Chair, okay, thank you very much. I agree with Honourable Snell that there is not much purpose in pursuing the third quarter knowing what we've seen. So I'm going to ask different questions. I wonder if the department can tell me what the backlog is on the issuance of water licenses. Because the last time I think we had them before us, they appeared before us, was in excess of 700 water licenses still to be issued. And why I'm asking the question, Chair, is that there were monies transferred to municipalities, for instance, for doing work, certain jobs or infrastructure jobs, but the water licenses are not there, with the result that the municipalities can't spend that money. So it worsens the situation on transfers, because the money has actually been transferred from the department. It is shown as an expense, but it's not really an expense, because nothing's happened with the money, because the water licenses haven't been issued. And then, sorry, Chair. Then I would just like to find out, you know, if they can, the department can tell us. We note that the AG, the Auditor General, says that the procurement processes are suspect, and I would just like to know what they're trying to do to fix that, as well as what you're trying to do to fix the dysfunctionality of the Internal Audit Committee. And then, Chair, we had the year of the job creation, and then I see nearly 178 million, nearly 180 million on two programs, working for water and working on for fire, not spent. Not a cent. So really, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I must say, you know, I've been sitting with this department now for, I don't know how long I've been on this committee, but some 8 years or something. And I haven't had any.
No, that one's also not.
I wonder if you have your basics in place, like what the auditor general was like, the internal audit committee, whether you comply to the very basics, like checking your little receipts and all, because if you are going to tell us that the municipalities late submissions, so this is not a new thing, and to tell us today that you have a plan, this has been a problem, all this, the municipalities have been a problem, late submissions, that's what we normally get in most cases, the same response, but as Honorable Swart has said, you don't come with the same, we did this, and this were the result, or we can just observe on ourselves that, yeah, they now have their audit, internal audit in place that can assist the auditor general, or the small things. Do you have your employment system, your vacancies? Do you have real frontline workers who can maybe try to address the basics, like welcoming people and registering them that they have arrived and you attended to that receipt of 5,000 rand, so that you don't miss the small issues within any institution, because it seems we must start there after so many years working with this department. And then like things like when we go back to Inyanga, they're going to tell us that they have that credit with Bushbuck Ridge. Are they addressing issues like that can just get them off the ground to show that they are now addressing the Irail issues, instead of saying we can't do this because Bushbuck Ridge didn't pay us all those 10 years when it belonged to Limpopo? Do you have your inventory and everything in place for starters?
Well,
another commitment now at one, you know. But Pichi, you got our analysis, no?
Yes, sir.
Our analysis of the current payments, for instance, will tell you that for the past 3 years, it's going down. It's on page 16. To at 60%, 55%, now 50%, next day it will be 40%. But I think what maybe without going as well, just to in the interest of time, I think the question that Honorable Snell raises to us is key. It's key question. You know, DG, you said yourself that when accepting the responsibility, you inherit everything. So, but what we don't understand with the department is that the suppliers, everybody, doesn't give you invoices for the rest of the year. But in the fourth quarter, suddenly, now you're able to what you call to pay, because people are giving you the invoices that they have not been giving. So, I don't know what kind of suppliers is that. That for 9 months they will not claim.
Look under the table.
On the claim at the last minute. Two. You know, there was a time when we were told that there was what is this word? In terms of stopping employment, what is the word that was used? No. We're during the moratorium. We were told that there was a moratorium. But now the president in the State of the Nation address says we must fill those funded, what you call it, vacancies. Now, I mean, for us, it becomes difficult if the work is not, I mean, you have not employed. Now, we're not talking about other vacancies. We're talking about funded vacancies, where government is already spending money on that. Whether you have employed or not employed, it doesn't matter. So to us, we're not able to understand why. Do you come and tell us that no, you couldn't do this because of vacancies? Maybe the committee must go and assist you to advertise and so on. No, but they are not employing. They are not. No, but they are not employing. Yeah. Now, I think that honorable members. You know, teaching. They are saying, we started with this committee in 2009. And differently in the past years, we have been relating to this committee. But Ms. Mbasa will tell you that I was at the NCOP relate. We have never, you're saying that we have never got joy from this department. Anybody who knows, who have related with this department in the past, has never got what we call a joy. And maybe one other thing that we think that maybe will assist, now that there's a DG now, there's going to be stability now, there's going to be a direction, you know, maybe it will go a long way in turning things around. You hear Honorable Blom saying, somebody from the constituents is complaining that the department is not responding. I don't know, Honorable Khaled Blom, I don't know how can that person, you must tell that person that you yourself, for oversight purposes, you don't get the responses. How then the what you call a constituent, the public, is going to get the responses when they have a constitutional duty to account to parliament, but they're not responding to us. So, Do you think that they will be able to respond to the public out there? It should not be like that. It shouldn't be like that. You are coming to us on the 22nd of May for appropriation. So we would really like to engage with you, because I think there's going to be another meeting now here. What we would like you to do, we would like you to give us to respond to these questions in writing. I really ask you, DG, not to respond to any what you call a comment or question. And then that time, and then you respond to us in writing. But we'll also do what Honorable Yengeni is suggesting about the kind of questions that you should expect when you come back on the 22nd. And I can tell you, the wolves and those dams, they're going to feature very what you call, including your internal arrangement, things that also the DG picked up, I mean the AG picked up around the supply chain management. We want to get into those issues. So please bear with us. In that we're not going to ask for your responses now, but you'll respond in writing. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.